Today, we start a new series. And the series is called Rapture Ready. And as a follower of Christ, I totally look forward to that day. That day when I get to see Jesus Christ, my Savior. But if you could just for a moment, if you knew right now, today at 3 o'clock, the rapture happens. I mean, like literally, I mean, we're pretending. I'm not doing one of those things like so many do and saying it's going to happen. We'll talk about that in a minute. If today at 3 o'clock you knew the rapture was going to happen, what would change? Be a little more contemplation, right? Maybe a few phone calls. Maybe that anticipation and, okay, I want to be ready. And the rapture is kind of an interesting thing, and that's why for the next 6 weeks, we're going to journey together. I hope we answer some questions. I hope you find some inspiration. You get guidance, and here's the bottom line. I want every one of us to be 100% rapture ready. But just think for a moment, when you hear the word rapture, what comes to your mind? For me, two things. The first is, it's just really weird. And then the second thought is big time wonderful. Really weird because of 1988. Ever heard of 88 reasons Christ comes back in 88? Yeah, those church people, they were at my church. I was a youth pastor, and like, no, Christ is coming back. I'm like, I believe he's coming back, but I don't believe it's in 88. Like, oh yes, he is. He told us. 1988, Christ is coming back. Did they ever read Acts chapter 1, verse 7? The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. So I was kind of chastised for my lack of faith, but then, just a couple of days later, January 1989, and guess what? My chastisers didn't get raptured. And I remember, with a bit of a gaze, they're wrong. Real wrong. And as a young, caring youth pastor, I smiled and reminded them about the outcome of such prophets according to the Old Testament. Let me just read for you. Since they tried to lead you astray from the way of the Lord, your God who commanded you to live, you must put them to death. In this way, you will purge evil from among you. No, I didn't say that. But here's the truth. God knew I was thinking it. And I wanted to chastise the chastisers. I mean, it's so weird. The Lord never told us when. And it happens again and again and again that Christians are misled. They do not understand theology. They have not read the scriptures. And it makes my job a lot harder. Especially because Christ told us, I'm going to come back for you. But he didn't tell us when. Now, there's another verse, and I don't want you to misquote me. I believe he's coming back. And in church, we don't talk about this as much as we used to. When I accepted the Lord during that time of the Jesus Revolution, like if you've seen that movie, that's my vibe. That church is where I accepted Christ. Corona del Mar, that's where I was baptized. Great, great opportunity as a young surf kid to understand and grow in the Lord. But I know he's coming back, but I'm just not a real sign watcher. I want to be more of a disciple maker. So we don't understand necessarily when, but we want to be ready for when. And this verse gets me excited. It says in Revelation chapter 21, I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Man, I love this verse. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Hello, could you park on that for an hour? I mean, you don't need to raise your hand, but has anyone had a hard week? Has anyone said, gosh, it just is so hard? Well, listen to what this says. And then he tells John, he says, and then he said to me, write this down, for what I'm telling you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and that is, right, the Hebrew alphabet, the beginning, the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings. I will be their God, and they will be my kids. They will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You know, I believe Jesus is coming back, and that's why we're doing a series called Rapture Ready. But did you know that the word rapture is not even found in the Bible? So, like, what's that about? Or why do we talk about the rapture when we don't even see that word in the scripture? I like how Dr. David Jeremiah says this. He says, the rapture, the word, is derived from a Latin translation of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And it translates in the Greek as harpazo, and it means to catch up or to carry away. So literally that verse means that Jesus is going to come and catch us up or carry us away. That's exciting. I mean, do you know if you're a little bit heavier, it's not as easy to kidnap you? I'm just saying. But you still will be raptured, like, bam. You know, I travel a lot, and so I eat a lot before I travel because nobody's going to carry me far. Just saying. Okay. Listen to what it says here in Thessalonians. And you know what? Here's what Hope Church is about. It's about the Word of God. It's about you and me coming together and worshiping God Almighty, but then it's about you and me coming together and learning about God Almighty. It matters. The scriptures matter. The Bible says that truth sets us free. And this is so beautiful, what this says. I mean, the Bible is such a, I just can't even believe we have it. What a gift that we've been given. We can understand God. We can understand the character of God. When the Bible says here that I'm coming back and I'm going to make it new, that's what God means. What a gift. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says this, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet ahead of those who have died, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will be raised from their graves. Then together with them, so this is where that word comes in, together with them, all who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And then Paul says these words. So encourage each other with these words. It just blows my mind. Like, am I going to be eating a taco? And will the taco, I mean, like, the Lord loves us, right? Like, we wouldn't be leaving a taco, right? That taco we will, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been to seminary a lot of years. They don't teach you that. They don't teach you if the rapture happens and you're holding a taco, does the taco stay and you go? Have you thought about these things? No. Okay. Well, let's... Apparently, I need to move on. You need to think about it the next time you're eating a taco. Be eating it faster. I don't know. So... And pay attention to this because it's going to get, it's not weird, but I'm going to talk a little bit about something. The rapture sets in motion the second coming of Christ. So the rapture and the return of Christ, they're separate. Christ will come and take his church. Then there will be a 7-year tribulation time, and then Christ will come and rule forever. Okay, so it's different. Now, it's interesting that when we talk about the tribulation time, it's a time of 7 years of God's judgment, right? Jesus came to save us, but he's coming back, and there will be judgment upon those who willingly choose to reject God. Divine judgments, there will be natural disasters, there will be angelic type of disturbances, terrible plagues. If you want to read about this, do it right before you go to bed in Revelation chapter 6 through 16. And you'd be going, Lord, you can have the taco. I just want to be where you are. So the purpose of the rapture is to spare Christ's followers from the horror of the tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, because you have obeyed my commands to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Now, I understand that there is some debate to the rapture and the tribulation period. The students of eschatology and those who study end times, they're going to fall into one of three categories. Three basic camps. Camp number one is pre-tribulation rapture before the 7 years of trouble. That's what I contend. Revelation chapter 3. However, there are others who are probably smarter than I am who believe that we will be here for 3.5 years. So you have the pre-trib, we go before the problems. Then you have the mid-trib, those people who will endure 3.5 years of trial. Then they're taken up. And then you have the post-tribulation thinkers that the rapture actually takes place after the tribulation. I like how one scholar kind of weighs in on this. In the midst of various interpretations of the end times, he says, focus on the most important truths or facts that all Christians should cling to. In other words, focus on essentials. Even though they're important, let's not focus on non-essentials. Things that are indisputably taught in Scripture and are the center to our faith are essentials. Things that are debated or less clearly taught are non-essential. Let me give you a couple examples. The Bible fact that Jesus is coming again to vindicate his church and to judge the enemies of God. Big essential. That there will be a rapture and all the believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Big essential. When and how this is going to happen, important, but not essential. There will be judgment day for every single person. Some going to heaven, some because of their choices eternal suffering. Essential. What the new heaven and new earth will look like, what the kingdom of God will be actually here on earth, that and all of the details, not essential. Knowing that Jesus is coming back, essential. That's why we're talking about, are you 100% rapture ready? Today's mostly an introduction for us, but I just want to share one other just super cool scripture. It says, now concerning how and when all these things will happen, my dear brothers and sisters. I love the tone of that. Paul's not angry. He's not mad at us. You know, it's not like I smear the t-shirts, you know, turn or burn, read the Bible, it'll scare the hell out of you, you know, these kind of things. This isn't like that. It's like, hey, friends, let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman goes into labor pains. Now, I remember when we found out Sharon was pregnant with Kevin, I freaked out. I'd never held a baby in my life. We actually went and got a dog. This is true. And I held the dog so I could learn how to hold a little kid. I'd never done that. And then we had to drive quite a ways, and Sharon's like, I think this is the time. I'm like, yeah, we're good. I'm not, yeah, you're kind of faking it. Well, let's go back home. If we would have driven back home listening to me, she'd had that baby on the road. I would still be traumatized. Thank goodness she knew. But here's the deal. That baby was coming. And there was nothing we could do. And I was like, uh-oh, now what? And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, there's a time, he says, there's no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Why? Because you're rapture ready. I don't know when it's going to come. I mean, it could be 200 years from now. But can I just give you a little encouragement today since you've come to church? You won't be here. Right? 100 years from now. I'm looking around. You can't live to 120. Especially you, because people are going to say he didn't make it. Yeah. You got to go earlier than that, because there will be people that go, no, Wes didn't make it. I know he's an elder, but you know. I mean, maybe. Let's, for the sake of arguing, like I'm not trying to argue, but let's say you're going to live 150 years. It's not that far. If Jesus doesn't come, we're all still going to meet him. And the key is we need to be ready. You're not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all, he's talking to believers here. So if today you're kind of seeking, kind of going, I don't know what I believe and not what I believe, no problem. But he's talking about people who are pretty firm in where they're at and what they believe. And we encourage everyone to be part of hope. It's not like we've got something we're trying to sell you. This has literally changed my life for years. Never planned to be a pastor. I was a business major. And literally, God has changed my life and blessed me unbelievably. But if you're seeking and you're thinking about it, it's important to do that because this is big. It says, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert, be clear-headed. Man, I love that. C.S. Lewis writes this, "A continually looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian, a Christ follower, is meant to do. This, while I live in Bella Vista, is not my home. My home one day will be with Jesus Christ, my Savior. And until he comes," and we're going to talk about this for the next 5 or 6 weeks. We're going to talk about what does it look like to be rapture ready? What does it look like to do our due diligence when it is being conformed to the image of Christ? What does it look like to be a Christ follower? I wrote this as kind of my last sentence. It might be good to ask a question before you leave today. Is your family ready? Are your friends, classmates, coworkers ready? Maybe the most important question, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? And if you're not, the first step is simple. God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to put you as the CEO of my life and to follow what your word says until we get to meet face to face. I'm going to have Pastor Kevin come and pray in just a couple of minutes. Want to shift gears right now. Kevin, if you'll come, and Sharon. Early this year, Sharon and I kind of made a decision that after 38 years of pastoring, Sharon and I decided that it's time for me to retire. And you know how much I love Hope Church. You know how much I've enjoyed being a pastor of Hope Church. And just so I make a couple of things clear, I wrote them down so there's no confusion. We're not leaving Hope Church. What an honor it has been to serve you the past 15 years. We will be here, and we're excited to see the plans the Lord has for the future, just not in the role of senior pastor. Not only are we planning to be here, the elders, they've given me a new title after I retire. The title will be Pastor Emeritus. You can Google this. It means old, a little bit fat, but honorably discharged. No, actually, in the Latin, it's a word referring to the one who has earned his discharge by faithful service. Emeritus is a way of honoring our ministry here at Hope Church for the last 15 years. Basically, the title is saying, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the ministry that God has allowed you to do the past 15 years. Now, somebody might say, well, Pastor Jim, is it even biblical to retire? Well, thanks for asking. I don't believe it's biblical to retire from serving the Lord and simply play games until the rest of your life is done. But did you know in Deuteronomy, or Numbers chapter 8, verses 23 through 26, it says this, Moses is talking, it says, they must begin serving at the age of 25, and then they must retire at the age of 50. In the Old Testament, there was a precedent that you don't retire after you're burned out and fried out and that you retire when you still have more to give. Now, I'm a little bit of a slow learner. I'm 10 years late. I'm 60, and I think it does seem biblically warranted to hand off certain responsibilities. I'll still be training leaders. I'm still going to be focusing on overseas missions and those type of things. Now, what's the plan for Hope Church? I think that's a very fair question. Over 3 years ago, I had asked Pastor Kevin, would you ever consider becoming the senior pastor of Hope Church the day I think about retiring? And I would say he was prayerfully excited, and then our lives shifted. From that point, walk forward now, we've not only walked together, we've worked towards what I call senior pastor proficiencies. So he would be ready when the time came for the opportunity to serve as a senior pastor. The church elder board and I believe that Kevin is now ready, and with the strength of the Lord, I believe that Kevin will continue doing a wonderful job here at Hope Church. They're not new here. They have actually served, he and Amanda have been here for 7 years. Here's the timeline. The 4th of February, you as the membership of Hope Church, and that's one of the benefits of being a member of Hope Church, you will vote on a new senior pastor. You will vote if Kevin is to become your new pastor, and it's truly your choice. If you're not a member of Hope Church and you've been thinking about it, this might be a good time because this is a very significant step. And then my last Sunday as the senior pastor will be on March 3rd. I heard there's going to be food. You might want to come. Could be tacos in your future. Let me just say this. When a church chooses to hire outside of the church, it usually means that you want to change the vision and the direction of the church. Most often, it's hard on the church. There's a lot of transition, and there's a lot of upheaval. And basically, that's what happened when I came and made changes 15 years ago. When a church promotes from within, the church usually is saying, we want to continue in the same direction. We want to continue with the same vision of the church. Doesn't mean everything's going to be done the same, but the DNA is stable. And this is the blessing of Pastor Kevin and Amanda. They not only know the vision of Hope Church. They've been part of it for 7 years, and I look forward to seeing the vision and the direction of Hope Church in the future. Two other items real quick, and then I'm going to have Pastor Kevin, if he wants to share something, and to pray. Pastor Zach will not be leaving, and he'll continue to serve alongside Pastor Kevin. Hold on. Unless he gets sassy. And then he'll decide his own fate. And Pastor Zach's been here 4 years. Yeah. You might also want to know that I'm going to continue to serve on staff, serving Pastor Kevin behind the scenes all of next year as a coach or in an advisory type position. So all of next year, I will stay on staff. It will just be a lot behind the scenes. And some of you, now maybe things make a little more sense. I've been traveling more, and it's been on purpose. We want to allow Pastor Kevin and Zach the opportunities to take on what it looks like to lead the church. And so really the rest of this year, I think we're here one Sunday and speaking or doing something almost every other Sunday until the end of the year. But I'm excited about where we're headed. And in the months to come, maybe you're going to have questions or thoughts. Well, there's time for that. There's absolutely in the next weeks and several months to come, there's time for that. But I love you tremendously, and I owed it to you to realize exactly what's happening before it happens. So what an honor we have had 38 years of pastoring. I know I look much younger than that, especially standing next to my beautiful wife. But there's a reward in heaven right there. But it is true. So Pastor Kevin, if you'll come and if you'd like to share something and then pray and we'll be dismissed today.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Jim and Sharon. Well, come on up with me. if you want to know how it feels to be up here for this, just imagine your heart beating out of your chest, because that's how it feels. But I say that to just say, Amanda and I take this church very seriously. We love this church. We've given our lives for this church. We moved here for this church. And we've been here for 7 years. And we have really loved it. And we're still feeling the energy and the drive to move forward. And if we were to become your next pastors, if that is God's will, we would embrace that. And we would be so excited. And so if you don't want to vote for me, just remember, you got to vote for her then, because she's like, she holds me together. And you guys know Amanda well, and she is, I couldn't even be in ministry without her. I really couldn't. We've been very happy at this church. You know, a lot of you know that we live right off the grass. We got here, and it's a long story, but God just blew the doors open for us to be provided for after some hardship in the past. And we're so excited. That being said, I just want to honor Pastor Jim and Sharon and just say the first thing that comes to mind is that no one in my life has invested in me and my wife more than these people right here. And that is the truth. Jim took a big chance on us when we were let go from a previous job, and we thought there was nothing left for us in ministry. Well, that was 7 years ago. And Jim took a big risk. I think he took a risk on us. And that's how Jim is. He's a risk taker. Jim and Sharon, they'll go for it. And so they have invested heavily in us, and we're so thankful for that. And no matter what happens in the future, I will always be thankful for that. And so I just honor you today, and I want to give them a hand for what they have put in to this place. Yeah. So we're excited. We're excited about the future. We are excited to serve, to continue to serve this church. And we've given our lives to it. We're dedicated to it. This is why we are in Arkansas. And we're not going anywhere else unless you tell me we're going somewhere else. Okay? That's how we feel. And so I feel a little bit like David. You know, at the end of David's life, he said, everything comes from you. So anything I give to you, Lord, only has come from your hand. And so I look at our church, I look at our leaders, everything we have here is from the Lord. So all that Amanda and I and this staff, Zach and Kelsey, are willing to put in for you and for this church and for this community, it's all from him. And I remember that. And I don't ever want to lose sight of that. Okay? I don't know what else I was going to say, but I think that's enough. Let's pray together, and then we will be dismissed. Lord, we're so grateful for the work that you've done in all of our lives here. We're grateful for the plan and the vision that you have had all along for Hope Church, and you see out in front of us. You see what's going to happen. We trust you, Lord. And for the time, as we're talking about being rapture ready, whenever that happens, Lord, for the time that we serve you on this earth, God, we want to do your will, and we want to keep going and moving forward. So, Lord, help us, Lord. Show us, Lord, your vision for the future. We want to affect this community. We want to have strong discipleship in this church. We want to know you, and we want to be close to you. And so we're just thankful for the days to come. And we believe, God, we believe that good things are coming, not because of us, but because they come from you and because you are faithful. And you have proven it over and over. And we're so thankful for the work you've done in all of our lives. Amen.